It's a great joy to be here today. I've enjoyed the preaching that we've had and the singing, and ask you to continue to pray for me as I endeavor to preach to you. Brother David Wise was with us recently over in Birmingham, and we thoroughly enjoyed his preaching and his fellowship, and thankful to be here today and be with all of you that are present. One of the problems, it's kind of a good problem in a way, but following other preachers, they get your mind all stirred up on... Yeah. I thought after the brother preached on Ephesians 1, I'd try to preach on that. But when Brother Neil preached on Matthew 11, I thought, I believe I'll try to preach on that. But both of those subjects have kind of left me now, so I want to call your attention to Psalm 133. Psalm 133, beginning in verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. In this psalm, David is describing to us how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And he said it's like the precious ointment that anointed Aaron, or the dew of Hermon that flowed down to the mountains of Zion. Unity is an incredible blessing in the lives of God's children. Amen. Trouble, division, fussing, quarreling, that's a heavy burden that Amen. We cannot bear. So I want to try to preach some on unity this morning. An elder called me a while back and asked me how Vestavia Church was doing, and I said, well, as far as I can tell, we all love the Lord and we love one another. And his comment was, well, it just doesn't get any better than that. Yeah. You know, that is the two great commandments.
Yeah, right.
To love the Lord and to love one another.
Amen.
And when love is flowing from heart to heart, I think you can have unity. So... what a blessing it is for the church to dwell together in unity. Now in this text, this chapter begins with that word, behold. And that word really jumps out at the serious student of the Bible.
Yes.
And gets your attention. Behold. That word basically means to stop, look, and listen.
Yes.
I want your undivided attention. Behold. What he's going to be saying here is not something you can just take casually or throw it aside. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's so important that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ dwells together in unity. Now in David's house, we know that there was a lot of trouble. His children were divided. One of his sons killed one of the other sons. Now that's trouble.
Yes.
That's the kind of trouble you can't measure. One of his sons mistreated his sister in an awful way. David's house was in disorder.
Yes.
When David was dying, It's recorded for us in 2 Samuel 23. And these be the last words of David. And David said, although my house be not so with God. He had just described a very lovely situation. A morning without clouds. But he said, my house is not so with God. And let me tell you, if a family is divided and troubled, and there's always murmuring and fussing, that is not pleasant at all. Amen. That's wrong. Amen. And some people learn that in childhood. But David's house was full of trouble, and I know it grieved him. But when David was blessed to go to the house of the Lord, to the temple, you remember how he described how wonderful that was? He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord.
Yes.
You and I can have churches, church families that are united, that are dwelling together in unity. Now, it takes work to have unity.
Amen.
You have to crucify the flesh. You have to prefer others above yourself. You have to have the mind of Christ to have unity in the church. And you know, when we look at our God, we see a God who is described in Scripture as having three persons. John said there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, that's the living Word, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are divided. Is that what the Bible says? And these three are one.
Amen.
Somebody asked Daniel Webster one time, how one plus one plus one can equal one? And Mr. Webster said, who wrote our dictionary, he said, you'd have to check with heaven's arithmetic.
Yeah.
To understand that. That passes our mind of reasoning. And you know, as you look at God, there are things about God that you can understand just by reasoning. To me, it's very reasonable to think that there is a creator.
Yes.
That there was an intelligent being who designed and created the universe. That's very reasonable to me. But there are things about God that reason cannot even begin to understand.
Amen.
Or comprehend. Reason is given to us so that we can understand that reason has its limitations.
Yes, well said.
But when reason plays out and bows down to faith, that's a wonderful point or stage in your Christian life.
Amen.
When you begin to live by faith and not by sight and by reasoning. Now the Bible tells me that there is one living and true God. And I believe that by faith. And I believe by faith that he created the heaven and the earth in 6 days.
Yes.
And that he is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. They're in perfect harmony. No discord between the Trinity. And you know, beloved, if God the Father loved everybody that's ever been on this earth, all of Adam's family, and Jesus died for them, but the Holy Spirit doesn't reach them and quicken them and give them eternal life, there would be discord in the Trinity.
That's right. Yeah.
But I believe everyone that the Father loved, the Son died for.
Amen.
And everyone the Son died for, the Holy Spirit is going to quicken from death and sin to life in Christ.
Right.
It's the same number.
That's right.
The number the Father loved, the Son died for. And the number the Son died for, the Holy Spirit is going to reach them and give them eternal life.
Amen.
The Trinity is in perfect harmony, no discord at all. His universe is unified. Have you all ever thought about that word universe? It means unity with diversity.
Yes.
Now, our universe, God's universe, is perfectly in harmony. The sun, the moon, the stars, the planets all work together in perfect harmony. There's no discord in the creation. Our God created a universe. Now, there's great diversity. When you think about all the stars in heaven, and they all have different names. And you think about all the birds that God made. Isn't it amazing?
Amen.
And all the different animals He made and the different plants He made. And we're all different. Mm-hmm. Not only do we have a different fingerprint, all of us, that's diversity, isn't it? Every human being on earth has a different fingerprint. And I was watching a show the other day that had a blind man on it, and he could recognize people by how they walked, because everybody's got a different gait. That's diversity, isn't it?
Yes.
All these billions of people, and they all have different faces, different fingerprints, different ways of walking. Our God loves diversity.
Yes.
Obviously.
Amen.
But it's all unified. His creation is unified. So our God is a God of unity. But when sin entered into the world, when sin came into the world, not by one God, but by one man.
Right.
By one man, sin entered into the world,
right,
and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all of God, all have sinned. Some would have us think that, you know, sin is a part of God's plan. Well, I don't find that in Scripture.
Right.
Man is the man. Man is the one that let sin into the world.
Yes.
And when sin entered, there was great division. And that division has continued until this present hour. You know, after World War II, the nations, the Allied nations, formed what they call the United Nations. They'd had the League of Nations, which was supposed to keep all, you know, Woodrow Wilson said World War I was the war to end all wars. Well, just a few years later, we were in a bigger war, a much bigger war than World War I. After World War II, the leaders of the world said, the world can't survive this. We've got to have a way to keep the nations unified. And they came up with the United Nations. Winston Churchill, a man that I have great respect for, when he died, he said, I feel like a total failure. Because he tried to establish a true and lasting peace on this earth, but he failed. And the nations of the world today are not united. We are forever living on the edge of another world war. And there have been many wars since World War II. What about the United States? Are we united as states? Not really. Our country is so divided. Some have said it's more divided than it has been since the Civil War. We are divided over politics. Taxes. We're divided over abortion, same-sex marriages, immigration. Our nation is truly divided. And that, of course, grieves all of us as American citizens. But there's very little that you and I can do about that, except, as Brother Joe suggested, pray. And that's not a little thing. But I want to tell you, you and I individually can't go out here and change the nations of the earth are the United States.
Right.
But what about those areas where you and I can contribute greatly to unity?
There you go.
I tell you one place you and I can contribute to it, and that is in our homes.
Amen.
When God created Adam and Eve and brought them together in marriage, and marriage is not an invention of some social engineers. God gave marriage to man.
Amen.
And God says, these two shall be one. And in marriage, there has to be unity.
Amen.
If there isn't, I can tell you, there's a lot of trouble down the road.
That's right.
Unity. And you've got to work at it. Now, does that mean that the husband and wife agree on everything? No. Does it mean that they have the same personality? No. And I've said this a lot of times. If you're going to marry somebody with the idea that they're not like I want them right now, but when I get them, I'm going to change them. I'm going to remodel them. You can look out. That's not going to work.
Amen.
My two-year-old grandson, our two-year-old grandson, Nelda's with me today. Our two-year-old grandson spent the weekend with us recently, and I told some in my family, I said, if you want to change somebody, find a little kid still in diapers and change them.
That's right.
You might have some success at that. But you're not going to be able to find somebody and change them in life. Now, you can influence people if they want to be influenced.
Right.
I've certainly been influenced in my life by people like you all. I grew up in a good church in Georgia. And let me tell you, I always felt safe and loved as a child in that church. And it was unified and peaceful. And oh, what a blessing that was. I was influenced by my pastor and by the deacons. And I can name you some women right now. Aged women who would get in their car once a week and go from house to house where the homebound were and minister to them. And that influenced me.
Yes.
You can influence people if they want to be influenced.
Right.
But when you get married, you just might as well accept the fact that you're not 100% agreeing on everything.
Amen.
But in purpose, in aim, and in destiny, a husband and a wife have got to be on the same page. Would y'all agree with that?
Amen.
And when kids come into the home, they need to understand that. They need to be loved. They need to feel safe. They need to feel significant. And that home is a place where they can enjoy one another. When it comes to religion, America has hundreds and hundreds of different denominations. And I'm very thankful that we live in a country where we have religious freedom.
Right.
Aren't y'all?
Amen.
I like what the Marines said one time. They said, we may not agree with you, but we'll die for your right to believe what you believe.
Yes.
I agree with that.
Amen.
And I thank God that we have freedom of religion. But wherever you have freedom of religion, you're bound to have religious entrepreneurs who come along, and they'll be starting their own churches, their own denominations. And we've got a lot, we got some large cults in this country that have started right here in this land. They have millions of followers. But in Europe, they didn't have religious freedom. And after the Reformation, the Protestants and the Catholics persecuted one another.
Right.
I mean, they were bloody. They hated one another. And the Protestants, in my mind, were as bad as the Catholics.
Yeah.
I want to say today, Baptists are not Protestant. Would y'all agree with that?
Amen.
We are not Protestant.
Truth.
I was talking to a man this week, and he said, you've got to be Protestant if you're not Catholic. I said, well, Martin Luther in his day acknowledged that there were Anabaptists that he knew about.
Right.
The church Jesus built was not set up in protest to anything.
Thank you.
Amen.
The church that Jesus built has been here for 2,000 years of unbroken church succession.
Amen.
And I'm glad. I want to say this. It's just us here, isn't it? I'm glad to be a part of a group that throughout history has no record of ever persecuting anybody else.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God, yes.
Baptists have never done that. We've never made converts with the sword.
Thank you.
Never have.
Amen.
Now, if we can convert somebody, we'll be glad to do that.
Right.
With logic and with a study of the Word in the presence of an open Bible, I try to do that a lot. And recently my wife and I have experienced a wonderful young lady who started coming to our church. And I was so glad to share with her the gospel. And you know, she just didn't show any resistance to the truth. Mm-hmm. That's like God just opened her heart to it. And that's a one, trying to show it to somebody, that's hard work.
It is.
But we don't want people to come in our church under pressure or intimidation. We want them to come freely to the house of God.
Amen.
To worship. Now, are we going to have a peaceful church where we are members? So I can't go out here and change the world and make the Russians and the Koreans and the French and the British and the Americans all get along together. I can pray about it, and I'm not minimizing prayer, but they have some responsibility.
Right.
God isn't going to do it all to bring about peace in this world. But you know what? I'm thankful. I do believe there were religions who came to America in the early days who would have loved to have become a state religion so that they could have taken away our liberty. I believe that. I'm sure of that. As a matter of fact, Baptists were being persecuted and put in jail in Virginia for preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Virginia did not have freedom of religion as we have it today. Thank God. That was included in the Constitution.
Amen.
I believe that was a gift from God on high.
Amen.
And I believe that the Word of God has been a great blessing to Americans in our day. So I certainly can't change all religions, but I tell you one thing I can do. I can love them.
Amen. Amen.
I may disagree with them on every Bible doctrine there is. And I want to take a stand for the truth. What about y'all?
Yes, sir.
I'm set.
Amen.
For the defense of the gospel.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to give one inch when it comes to the doctrine. But I want to love everybody.
Amen.
How about y'all?
Amen.
Don't y'all, and I can tell you, you can go into any church probably in Mississippi today, I don't care what the name of it is, and find good people in that church.
That's right.
People you would enjoy having dinner with. Mm-hmm. Being neighbors to. I want to love everybody.
Amen.
And I want to be good to everybody. I want to be the good Samaritan. What about y'all?
Amen.
Now, I don't want to be conned.
Right.
My wife and I got conned a while back. You've got to watch out.
Yeah.
It occurred to me the good Samaritan saw that this man was really in need.
Yes.
He was beaten and left half dead. He was in need. He wasn't conning anybody.
Right.
We were conned by people who looked like they had needs, and we found out they'd been conning a lot of other people. So you're not obligated as a Christian to give something to everybody that asks you. I understand
right.
that. But I want to love people. And I want to be like the Good Samaritan. Jesus says, go and do thou likewise. But I'm like the brother said, there's a special bond in the church where we have so much in common. And though we want unity in the church, we don't want it at the expense of truth.
Amen.
Let me tell you this morning, truth at the expense of, or let me say this, unity at the expense of truth is not unity.
Amen.
Would y'all agree with that?
Amen.
If I've got to sacrifice the truth of the gospel in order to have peace with somebody, that's not unity. Prime Minister Chamberlain went to Hitler and talked to him. People were tired of war in Europe. And Chamberlain was tired of war. And he went and talked to Adolf Hitler. And Hitler lied to him. And Chamberlain wanted to believe the lies. And he got some appeasement, but that wasn't peace. Now, there are people that will come into the old Baptist church and they will bring heresy.
Right.
They will bring false doctrine. I'm supposed to love them. But I can tell you, if they start bringing things into the church that are unsound, another gospel, which is a perversion of the gospel, Paul tells me what to do. Let that brother or man be accursed.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a strong word, isn't it? But how are you going to have unity in a church if we all don't believe the same basic doctrine?
Amen.
You can't. We live in an age where many people say that truth is relative and that you can just kind of make up your own truth. That might be out in the world, but not in the house of God.
Amen.
Paul said to Timothy, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same." Not a version of them, the same commit thou to what kind of men? Faithful men.
Yes.
That's what we need in the church today. Faithful ministers of the gospel who are not here for their glory or their recognition. They are here for one reason, that is to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And truth matters in the house of God. How many of y'all believe that?
Amen.
That's what sets us free.
Right.
So we don't want to sacrifice the doctrine to have peace. And we don't want to sacrifice New Testament practice for peace. When I was serving in Statesboro, a lady came to our church one day, and she was a woman of some means, and she said to me, she said, "Pastor, I notice y'all don't have a piano." She said, "I would be glad to buy y'all one." Now that showed a good heart in her, I'd say. What about y'all?
Yeah.
That woman had good intentions, and I didn't jump on her. Right. I just said, "Sister, I think we could afford one, but it's just not our practice to use instrumental music in worship." And she was okay with that. You know, you don't have to jump on people to disagree with
That's
them.
Right. Amen.
But now, there's a lot here that I'd love to get into today, but now, you know, there's an old saying, and I love it. In essentials, there must be what? Unity. In non-essentials, there must be liberty. And in all things, there must be what? Charity. Now, the essentials are the doctrine and practice of the church, the discipline of God's house. That's not for us to decide. That's clear in the Word of God. But there are a lot of non-essentials. I'll give you one. When I grew up in Georgia, all the churches over there met at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. That was just our custom. And I think it started back when just about everybody was on the farm and they had to get out and feed the stock and all before they came to church in horse and buggy. Now you go over there today and try to get them to meet at 10:30, and I'll just have to say good luck. But that's a non-essential. If they want to meet at 12 o'clock, that's their business, right? If they want to meet at 9 o'clock, that's their business. Don't go around. I tell you one thing that helped me a lot when I was young. Elder Darty used to take me to Florida, North Carolina, Texas, Mississippi, and I would run into people and I would see them singing like we didn't sing back home. And I thought to myself, they're unsound. And Brother Darty taught me, "Brother Sam, they all have their own ways."
Yes.
And they didn't call you over here to change things.
Amen.
They called you over here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember when Elder Darty, you know, he was a wonderful man of God. And the only time I ever saw him was at church. One time he was going to take me on a trip to Texas, and I went home with him on a Sunday night, and he pulled off his suit, pulled off his tie, pulled off his shirt, and put on some pajamas and laid in the floor and ate an orange. And I thought, the brother has lost his religion. I'm just telling you how young people think. You know, I've said this. The only exercise some people get is jumping to conclusions.
Right.
And they get a lot of it. Jumping to conclusions. How many of y'all have ever jumped to conclusions? I have. I'm still prone to do it. But I'm trying. It's taken me years to just quit all that. Wait till the evidence comes in.
Yes.
See, your judgment is no better than the facts you have.
Amen.
And a lot of churches are divided over people not having facts.
Amen.
I could give you all a lot of non-essentials, but you just think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to close with this. John Gill says, he said that students of Jewish culture said that starting with Psalm 120 all the way to Psalm 134 were called ascent psalms. The Israelites would sing them as they ascended up to Jerusalem to worship. And they went up there three times a year for feast days. The first one was the Passover, when they would remember that night when God passed over Israel when he saw the blood. What a night that was. What a night of deliverance when God passed over. And they'd go up to Jerusalem in the spring and they would remember that and worship God in Jerusalem. And then the second one was the Feast of Pentecost or First Fruits, when they remembered how God had blessed the promised land to bring forth bountifully so they had something to eat. And then that last feast of the year was the Feast of Tabernacles, when they remembered how God had provided shelter for them in the wilderness. And these are 12 tribes. And you be sure they were tribal. They all had their little differences.
Yeah.
Each tribe had its own little differences. And they would sometimes get upset with one another, finally divided. But you see, as these 12 tribes would go up to the house of God, they would be singing. This family would join that family, and that family would join this family. And as they sung these beautiful psalms, it united them.
Amen.
And it was estimated there might be 2 million who had gathered there in Jerusalem to praise God. Now, that's the reason we gathered here today and yesterday and tomorrow. You know why? We gather here to remember our blessed Savior.
Amen.
Our Passover. His precious blood is shielding us from the wrath of an angry God.
Yes.
And we're in this house today for one reason, to praise Him and adore Him and worship Him. Are y'all here today listening to me? These songs y'all were singing today, I didn't try to sing much. My voice is a little hoarse, but I enjoyed your singing. See, singing kind of brings us together.
Amen.
When I remember back in the 1970s, it was a popular song, "I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing in Perfect Harmony." Y'all remember that song?
Yeah.
It's a catchy tune and a beautiful words. They were advertising Coca-Cola. I never could make the connection. But it probably sold a lot of Coca-Colas. "Like to teach the world to sing." See, when all of you join your voices, whether it's bass, tenor, alto, also, whatever, that's an offering to God.
Amen.
And it does help, doesn't it, to unify the church? And then we gather here to praise God for His natural blessings. All of you all are well-dressed today. I'm sure there's a bountiful meal waiting for us in the dining room, and I'm ready for it. And we're here to worship Him and praise Him. But we want to do it in unity.
Amen.
Behold, how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. And if you're going to have unity in your church, you're going to have to learn to not have your way all the time.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
You're going to have to learn to esteem others as better than yourself. See, you can't divide humble people. You just can't. But pride gets in there. That's why it's one of the deadly sins.
Amen.
It can divide. And you say, well, we don't have very many, Brother Sam. It only takes two to have a division.
Amen.
May God help us to labor for unity. Thank you for your
time. Amen.